Welcome, Chad. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name's Chad Lyson. I'm from Salmon Arm, of course. I grew up here. Yeah, I graduated from SAS in 1996 when I promptly left on a rotary exchange to Brazil. I lived in Brazil for about a year, and then I came back. I studied at Okanagan College, and then during the fire of 1998, I evacuated, and I evacuated to a little city, our capital city called Victoria. I worked and lived there and went to the University of Victoria, and I graduated in 2004. I have a degree in economics with a minor in sociology, and from there, I moved to Alberta. I lived in Alberta for a while, and then I was working in real estate development down in Calgary after a little stint in Red Deer and oil and gas, and I was talking to my friend, and it was snowing in June and July and flooding, and I couldn't get home from work from downtown to the south, and so I was calling people and saying, hey, what's going on where you are? And my friend was mountain biking, and he was at the beach in Salmon Arm, and so I was like, hey, you know, that sounds a lot better than what I'm doing right now. And I moved back, and that was 9 years ago this summer, and 9 years ago this fall, I got elected to city council, so since then, I've been a mortgage broker, city councilor, and hanging out.
That pretty well covers what you what brought you back here, I guess, and, mm-hmm. and what you've been doing to some extent. What have you liked most about living here?
I think that Salmon Arm has a lot of great features. I like living in Salmon Arm. It's a great place to call home, have a home base. It's got a great Four Seasons. When people from out of town come in, they always ask, you know, what do you do or why Salmon Arm? Or people from out of town ask, why would you ever, I mean, you're 36. Why have you lived in Salmon Arm for the past 9 years? Like, why would you choose that? And I always say it's like a little city. We have all of the amenities that big cities have. We just don't have the big productions, right? So we have a theater, you know, we have movie theaters, we have, you know, a swimming pool, we have a hockey rink, we have all of the amenities that any suburban neighborhood might have, but we don't have the Saddle Dome or the Rogers Arena for the big shows or the Vancouver's for the Orpheums or for the Commodores or any of those live things or maybe the higher end things, but we're a 4.5 hour, 5.5 hour drive from that, and we can go for a weekend there. And most importantly, we're an hour away from an international airport now. And so living in Salmon Arm, you get the Four Seasons, you get all of the amenities and that you would in the big city, but you have the small town feel. And, you know, I like it. I like being able to go out in the middle of winter, 5 minutes from my house, and cross country ski on the lake. I like being able to ride from my door and get into the trails in South Canoe, you know, large hills. If I want to go skiing, I can go to the gorge or I can go to Revelstoke in the winter. And, you know, great squash courts, great volleyball leagues, soccer leagues, baseball leagues, anything you want to do. If you want to go swimming, there's a pool. We have a, you know, it's cheap, it's accessible, it's a great place to live, great people, communities involved. I mean, pound for pound, we are definitely punching above our weight in Salmon Arm. We have a lot of communities are jealous of all of the amenities that we have. And so I'm proud to call it home.
What are there anything that you could say that you like least about Salmon Arm?
You're asking a politician to say what they like least about Salmon Arm? That's a great question. Oh, man. You know, something that we're working on and something that we struggle with is it's a problem, I think, is our demographics, right? We need to balance our demographics. And that's something that, you know, when I met with the Linda Wilson, I remember the meeting actually, it was 9 years ago in the fall. So pretty probably right about now, Linda Wilson, Bill Laird, Jack Bauer, and myself up at the college. And we were in, how do we make Salmon Arm a college town, right? It was in its infancy. Linda had been promoting it for years. Jack had for years. Bill had. You know, and I was new back to the scene and full of piss and vinegar and wanted to make a difference. But Linda was the dean. Linda's still on that soapbox of making Salmon Arm a college town. And, you know, she is the reason probably why we will become a college town. You know, lots of people are going to take credit for it. And lots of people are going to take a lot of things. But if it wasn't for Linda, it would never happen or perhaps will never happen. But it was Linda. And, you know, it's more apparent now being in the role and, you know, I studied demographics in university. I studied sociology. I understand how the populations work and we're hit by the baby boomers and they want to live here, right? They want to move out of this city. They don't like the urbanization anymore. They want to come here, have a nice lot and a single family house rancher with a, you know, a quarter, a third of an acre and retire and be here with their partner and everything. But more and more, we're seeing our young people move to larger centers, right? The trend towards urbanization, Vancouver's, the Calgary's, the bigger cities like Kelowna's, right? Victoria's. It's always been a problem, but more and more, it's an epidemic that's happening to all of the cities across Canada, right from Newfoundland to the island. And the young workers are going to Fort McMurray, forts and ports of the world, right? To make the big money. It's a strain on the social relationships, the husbands, the wives, the partners, the families, you know, but to make the money. So we need something that, while we're losing young people for these jobs and for the money and for urbanization, to balance that off. And we need to balance off so that Salmon Arm continues to attract and retain its young people. There's always going to be the people who go away and come back, like myself, right? There's professionals all over. Today I saw in the newspaper that Angie Spencer is back, right? But that's Angie Adams, whose father, Doug Adams, and she grew up here. And now she's an accountant coming back to join Jeff Johnson and Kelly Ponage. But that's Kelly's maiden name, you know, at BDO. Or Kelly was here, now she's in Sycamus and doing different accounting work. So the young professionals come back, but we need to, I guess, supplement the loss with an attraction and retention. And I think that's the major weakness that Salmon Arm has right now, is attraction and retention of young people. Like we are for, you know, for business and for everyone talks about succession plans, right? So who's going to take over your business? Who's going to take over this? And who's going to take over that volunteer group? Or you don't go to a conference that says, hey, how do we get young people? How do we attract young people to politics? How do we attract young people to trades? How do we attract young people to this industry or that industry? How do we attract young people to our town? And we are competing with every city, town across Canada. And I think by attracting something for our shoulder season, which would be the college, which is small in scale right now with 500, you know, full-time equivalent students. But if we can attract and retain young people and keep them, because that's what happens. Kids go to school, they meet someone, or they get a job and they stay there, right? And so to offset our losses, I think that we could do a real service to the future of our community by getting a program that attracts and retains young people within the community. And, you know, it could be our strength moving forward.
So what would you say are your most important values as a person?
I mean, for me personally, what do I value? I value my relationships with people, right? That's the one thing, you know, I value my friends and I value my ideals. And if you have good friendships and you're able to have good reciprocal agreements with your friends, and then your life is pretty good. Those are my values. I mean, people can talk about different things, but if you treat your friends well and they treat you well, then you're happy within your life, I think.
So who are some of the people you particularly respect in this community, or at least the kind of people or specific people, if you will?
I think the people that I most respect are the people who do the work behind the scenes that don't necessarily take the credit for it. The Winston Paynes of this world, who helped establish through the Downtown Activity Center, through the board of directors, this building and make it what it is today. And that was years ago. You know, you don't see Winston's face out there, name out there, but the volunteer work that he's done with things like the Shoe Shop Trail Alliance, you know, it's a real coup for us to get him onto the Trail Alliance board, the Phil McIntyre Pauls of the world to do all of this work, right? And the list goes on. It's the volunteers and those community builders that, you know, it's easy for anybody in a elected office to step up and cut a ribbon or smile and take a picture and say, yeah, so glad we did this. Yeah, anybody can do that, you know, anybody can take pictures, but it's the hands-on, the grunt work behind the scenes, the, you know, who's going to take the porta potty up to the trail building days, you know, who's going to take lunch up to these things, who's going to man the door at this event, who's going to sell the tickets, who's going to do this, right? Who's going to make the lunch? Those are the people that I most respect in our community, the people who really get in there, get dirty, and don't necessarily look for the glory. They're doing it to make the city a better place. And That's what makes Salmon Arm awesome, are those people who don't necessarily need the credit or want the credit, but do the work and make the city a better place, in my opinion.
Continuing with that, in your opinion, what are the most important issues facing Salmon Arm and area? And you've kind of alluded to some of it, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, you know, we need to realize what got us here, right? We need to realize why Salmon Arm is Salmon Arm, and then we need to protect it and enhance it. We can be any town North America, and for certain reasons, we need any town North America, you know, stuff. It's part of society. It's part of what's expected. But realizing the lake is important and our natural environment is important. Those are the constants that we need to go forward with, you know, protecting the lifestyle of Salmon Arm. And I mean, those are the, I think that people are going to have a choice in the future, whether where you work or what you do, right? And how you choose to do it. There's still going to be a 35 or 40 year employee who works at the same company, and you're still going to have that, like in days gone by. But the way that people work and collaborate and do different things is, I think, changing. And I think that people are going to be able to choose where they live and what they do a lot. You know, it's going to be a lot easier. You don't have to move to Logan Lake to get a mining job. That doesn't have to be your career choice. You can move to Salmon Arm and telecommute and work in Vancouver, consult work in Edmonton, consult work in Vancouver, right? I do, from my home office, I do work all across Canada, right? And so I can do your mortgage in Vancouver. I can do your mortgage in Victoria, Alberta, anywhere, right? Northern BC, you can fax me documents. So I think that if we want to be a successful place, Salmon Arm needs to create the amenities that make quality people want to live here, right? And with that, I mean, we've never had a problem attracting retirees. They have always said, yeah, I'd like to live in the Shuswaps. Right? It's like, of course you want to live in the Shuswap. No, the Shuswaps. Yeah, all the lakes out there. Yeah, we'd love to go out there. Saskatchewan is great, but we'd like to go out there because it's so nice in the summertime. So, we, you know, I think if we continue making things that help with that lifestyle choice to live here, then we'll be okay. We don't have the luxury of having a ski hill like Revelstoke does that automatically attracts those people, right? We don't, you know, we're not a large urban center. We don't have the big shows that say, hey, I want to go out and this is the nightlife and these are the things. But we can continue to work with our natural assets to do what we do. And if we enhance those and we make them readily available for people, I think that they will choose to live here and do what we do.
Well, based on what you just said, what is your main reason for running for office once again?
I'm not done. That's a thing. I originally ran for office because I wanted to help make the decisions for the future of my town, right, my city. You buy a house, you renovate it, you fix it, and you change the bathroom, you rent a house, you change the paint colors, one day you just change how the living room's arranged, right? You get to make those choices. On a macro scale, I get to be involved and have been involved for the past 9 years about how those decisions are made within the city, right? My priorities were different than the priorities of the previous council and a lot of my colleagues on council, right? I've had three now, and I've had to fight with them off and on, back and forth, to get things. I mean, it took years and years. The first win I had was convincing them that free transit for kids on holidays wouldn't cost them anything. And they're like, yeah, yeah, okay. So that took months. That was easy. That was an easy win, you know? And then when I introduced the recycling thing, that took like 5 years. That took two terms to get done, right? Yeah, 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 we'll do recycling. Yeah, yeah, green, get off your green soapbox. Yeah, that's sure, whatever. We can't afford it. Nobody wants it, blah, blah, blah. Now it's there. Now we need to expand it. We need to get what we have, 30% of our waste diverted now through recycling. And you see the blue bags, and it's been very successful. Some people still aren't on it, but the majority of the people appreciate it. Now we need to divert our green waste. We need another 30% out of our landfill. Can you imagine being the council in, you know, 50 years, 25 years, 75 years, saying, yeah, where are we going to put our new landfill? Who's going to decide that? That's not an easy one. And I don't want that decision to have to be made. I want, you know, we can do it now. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance. We can fix that, those types of things. We're not done with the college. We're in the preliminary stages of making the college happen, right? We finally, 2 years ago, got sustainable funding regionally for the Shuswap Trail Alliance. We have a partnership with the Trail Alliance, with Salmon Arm, with CSRD, with Enderby to sustainably fund it so that they can carry on. We finally have a 3-year contract of sustainable funding for arts within our community. Arts is a big deal, right? There's lots of talk about the land that we just acquired here for in the Jackson site, for example, for the, you know, an indoor soccer center or for a performing arts center. Where are we going to get the money for those two items? I don't know, but it's a start, right? And there's things that I guess when you look at a council, you look at the priorities of each person and where they want that big ship out at sea to go. There's a lot of quick and easy wins, but there's some hard ones. And I always equate council to being, you know, in the city and running is to being something that you get to have impact on, you get to have influence on, and what are your priorities for it, and where do you want it to be? I want Salmon Arm to be the best little city that it can be, right? I've worked on all sorts of boards and directors. I want our airport to be better. I want our everything to be better. But there's still work to be done, and in order to make this a place that I want to live in and retire in, I think that we can still fix it, and I think we can make it better. And it's this job shouldn't be about the person. Like, it shouldn't be about anybody's ego. And don't get me wrong, there's 15 people who are pretty narcissistic who are running for this position, and I'll admittedly, like, hey, everybody likes it, but it shouldn't be about a paycheck, and it shouldn't be about, well, it isn't about a paycheck really, because it's for the hours, it's sort of a volunteer position, but it shouldn't be about the person. It should be about the person's will to make the community a better place, and that's according to their vision, and that's the fun of democracy. It shouldn't be about the person themselves.
Well, maybe you've sort of answered the next question a fair amount, but what do you hope to accomplish if you are elected?
We need to keep going, right? We've had a relatively easy, you know, my first term on council was very challenging. It's a lot of learning and a lot, like, the learning curve for council is steep. So we're going to have 3 new councillors or perhaps more this time. There's 3 empty seats that will either be filled by newbies or incumbents or former incumbents, or maybe there's 6 entirely new counselors. That's a steep learning curve. Okay. So you spend my first term is a lot of learning and, you know, some, like I said, some quick wins. Second term, we got a big one, right? We got recycling. Like, that was a big deal to me. Third one, we got the land for the college, right? That's huge. It's a good start. Now we need to keep going, right? We need to enhance those lifestyle things. We need to be working for a future green, clean industry for the community. Like, we need to be working on things that aren't always the quick, easy win. We need to work long-term. I mean, what would I like to see? Well, there's lots of stuff. I can promise the world, but now that I've been in there, it's a lot harder to promise that, you know, oh yeah, we'll do that. We'll lower your taxes. We'll make this easier. We'll do that. It's not unrealistic, but I think we're in a pretty good state, and I think we've done a lot of the heavy lifting. Like I say, in my first 2 terms, we did a lot of the heavy lifting. In the third term, we got a lot of the benefits of those first 2 terms, but I think it's time to get back to work, and I think start charting that course and pushing that ship towards where it needs to be.
So with that in mind, in what way do you intend to work to achieve your goals if you are reelected?
Well, it's like recently, you know, We contact, and we're in constant contact with higher levels of government to make sure that they're still aware of our things. I mean, I know most of them, the ministers, on a first name basis now, right? And we say, hey, look, I need your money. Our job is to lobby provincial decision makers in the cabinet to say, hey, yeah, those guys in Salmon Arm just won't go away. Hey, Mike. Hey, Terry. Hey, Todd. What's up? You know, I need some cash. We need money. We need to fund this. Let's get this going. And, you know, whether you share their politics or not, you know, their beliefs, they control the purse strings at Treasury. You know, Greg's on Treasury. So he says, oh yeah, no, we can't afford it. We can, you know, hey, we need this for my ride, and we need to do that. So that's something that people don't see what necessarily I do is the out of town work. Like I'm on the Southern Interior Local Government Association. So that's a local government association made up of 37 member municipalities. We're one of seven within the province and we lobby on a provincial basis, right? I continually do work out of town that people don't see. So to go forward is to keep the higher levels of government, keep their feet to the fire. So that's what we try and do. And that's what I want to continue to do is say, hey, fellas, remember us. We want your money.
Well, final question is, what would you like to leave as a legacy after you step down or when you're finished with being a counselor?
I think, you know, only a handful of people actually get to step down from being a counselor. Some people just get told that they're no longer doing the job. And that's a huge blow. Didn't I just talk about narcissists and a bunch of people being egoistic at the back? Yeah. Well, that happens to us, right? And it's like, oh, nothing like a kick in the shin and say, hey, you're out. Thanks for, you know, I hope people think I'm doing a good job. And so, you know, and I hope they realize that I'm working for them. But supporting, you know, the trails, I think, is going to be a huge thing. You know, and Salmon Arm, once they're built, they're really hard to get rid of. And so the decade of work that's been done on the trails, upon the decades of works that have been done on trails before, I think that's something that you'll never be able to take away from this community. And I think I'm very proud of the work that those people have done. Regionally, I think we need to protect, I know we need to protect the rail line between Sikkimoose. It's not even within our city and within our city limits, but from Sikkimoose to Armstrong, Armstrong to Vernon, Vernon to Kelowna, Kelowna to Osoyoos. That rail line is, you know, it's the Vancouver seawall to me. It's the reason for Okanagan tourism. And it could be the future of transportation in 100 or 200 years if we're still around on this earth by then. Who knows what we're going to do. I would, you know, some really nice features I would like to see is I would like to see a walking trail from Canoe Beach to Sandy Point. That was the thought of the trail lines a long time ago, you know, be able to walk around the lake and do this. I think that would be something that would be, you know, for bird watching, for walking, but that connection to First Nations, you know, to the city, out to our public amenities, you know, I think that's an important thing. And it'd be nice to be able to do that. And with the proper infrastructure projects and the proper partnerships, that one's not too far off, right? I put in my, which I'm not sure if people will read it or not, but my Friday AM comments about priorities and projects and the relocation of the sewage treatment plant. Okay, there's been a lot of work done with brownfields and brownfield developments, and it's something that when I was a kid, it used to really stink. And I grew up in the downtown area right by Blackburn Park, and it'd be like, oh yeah, wind's coming in from the lake today. That's a good one. So with the relocation of the treatment plant, which I think we should do. I think it's a should. It's not a need and it's not a wish. It's a should. We're going to have a decision to make in the medium term about how much money we spend on it, right? Do we want to go to a phase three and an upgrade and spend $15 million, or do we want to bite the bullet and spend, you know, $25 million? It's big money, but move it to Minion Fields or move it somewhere else and do a proper brownfield and do, you know, on-site containment and this and that and make it better. But at the same time, we're rebuilding the sewage lines from Canoe Beach to Salmon Arm. We had a failure. We're going to do the initial work from Apple Yard to Raven. Then we're going to do from Apple Yard to Salmon Arm. And then we need to go from Apple Yard or from Raven to Canoe. And you don't want a sewage line in your foreshore to fail. So we have to redo those. But while we're at it, why don't we build the trail from Raven all the way around Engineers Point, work with landowners out there, and get that trail built within the city? On the other hand, we need to support the First Nations, and we need to work in partnership with the First Nations. So let's just say we relocate this sewage treatment plant to Minion Field. Okay, we turn ours into a pump station, we pump it out, and we get it to Minion Field. Well, we're going to be building a sewage force main out to Minion Fields. It's going to be going near the railroad tracks or near the, you know, the First Nations land, through the First Nations land. Why don't we continue that on out to Sandy Point? It opens up a huge amount of development opportunity for the First Nations, a huge tract of land, right? The bench, as it's called, above the Trans-Canada Highway West. And giving them, opening them a door with a partnership with them to open them up for tourism, provide them essential infrastructure, right, in partnership, so that the future of Salmon Arm, which is an undeveloped tract of land, right, is open and opens the doors for their opportunities as well, so that they can grow, we can grow, we get better as a city. If, you know, it's like a team, and if they get better and they have more opportunity, we get better. Our businesses in town benefit, you know, the population grows, we get all of these different things. And at the end of the day, we have a more responsible way to treat our effluent, and we have a really fantastic amenity for trails and for recreation and for lifestyle. So, you know, those would be some neat legacies to leave. Oh, and a college town, right? Clean, green industry, good jobs, balanced demographics. You know, it sounds like utopian, but those are the things.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in this morning, and good luck.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.